Amen. I would like you and invite you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. Most of you know we've been working our way through this book, through this letter that Peter wrote to believers that were scattered because of persecution. For us in America, for the most part, if we're not in touch reading what others are experiencing, this is kind of distant, this idea of persecution because of Jesus. But it's a very real thing for the majority of Christians around our planet. Even today. So we have to kind of work our mind back into that setting. So as the people were scattered, wondering what is going on, wondering, did God leave us? Did God forsake us? Peter assures them that no, he hasn't forsaken you. And in fact, you're blessed because of the suffering for the name of Jesus. Okay, that's a change of mind. That's a mindset. That's a renewing of our thinking. Because we would see, you know, ill treatment as some sort of punishment or dissatisfaction with God. And God said, no. Multiple times from chapter 1 through chapter 4, God said, you're blessed. So into chapter 4, let's just read a little bit. Verse 7, the end of all things is at hand. We've read this three different weeks in a row. Is it near? Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. So their first alignment is back to God, just considering God, not forgetting God. In fact, speaking to God about everything for the purpose of prayer. But secondly, that horizontal ministry, that ministry to the one another. Now, even though we're not in a persecuted situation, our circumstances aren't that bad for the most part. Probably none of us in here that are part of any church in the valley experience much persecution because of Jesus. Yet there's also ongoing needs. And so though he is telling people to minister to the one another because they need it, we all need it, the application is still for us today. The people that we run into, the people that we rub shoulders with, they too need encouragement from the one another. And so he starts getting into that topic. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. This is where we spent last week. The fact, in fact, out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this comes from Proverbs chapter 10. That idea is that our extending of grace to another individual who's blowing it, rather than us broadcasting all of their sin, telling everybody about it, making it more difficult for them to ever recover from those choices. Love doesn't do that. In fact, in Colossians chapter 3, we're going to be there in a few minutes, talks about love. Well, it doesn't use that word in this context. Oh, it does in full, and you'll get the picture when you're there. But he says, have forbearance and forgiveness. And that is toward other people. You put up with it. And I believe that forbearance is the love covering the multitude of sin. Because this is not talking about, this is how sins are forgiven from God. That's through the blood of Jesus. Rather, this is how we keep on walking together, keep on moving forward together. And as somebody steps on a mine out there in the world, somebody next to them helps pick them up and keep them going, moving forward together. And oftentimes those altercations, those problems are between you and me, between my wife and I, between my friend and I, between my brother in Christ and I. So what are we going to do? Well, to love them is to cover it over, rather and not hiding it. You got to deal with it. We talked about that last week. There are things to deal, steps to take, but we don't push it out there and broadcast it out there and publish it. That is more of the idea here. So we keep moving together, saying, hey, I love you, I forgive you, we're going to keep on going. So the next verse, this kind of leads into, be hospitable to one another without complaint, and then as each one has received a gift, a special gift, employ it in serving one another. All of this is one another stuff here. That ninth verse, be hospitable to one another. It seems like some people have a gift of hospitality. You know, it seems like it drives them to do that, to have people in their home on a continual basis and not expecting for the person to reciprocate. Hospitality just gives. Okay. The word means a love of strangers. Okay, the actual Greek word means that. So it's not talking about just, hey, we're friends. Let's the two couples get together or two families get together on a regular basis. Oh, we're full of hospitality. Now, this is that extension for those you don't know. And maybe in some cases, those that you don't trust. In their context, because they are traveling with a knapsack on their back, they need somebody to reach out to them and maybe feed them and house them in a dangerous setting. Or just they're really tired and weary, man. They need a bath. They need a shower. They need some real food. Okay, so this makes a lot of sense back in that culture. But for us, it makes a lot of sense too. Because God uses hospitality very, very often in ministry to encourage people. Let's come back to Cliff and Becky and two different Chinese people. Hospitality that ended up, these two people, one at a time, got to see the reality of Jesus, the reality of the living God, because it's an outreach of ministry. They are with you. They see some negative things, right? Do you have any negative things in your home? You do have, I mean, we're doubtful. We think you guys are, you know, walking on the water. You haven't seen any, see? That's what I mean. They live there and they can make it through. They can see that not every day is a good day, but that God is still a good God. Hospitality brings people in and close. It happens in the home, but it can also happen outside the home. It happens, you know, as we're just treating somebody like a human being out there rather than a throwaway. Really. And meeting needs that are true needs. Every time we talk about this, this brings in the discussion of, oh, what about those that are out there just faking it? Well, we all know about those too. That's a whole other topic. There are people that really are needy people. They need to be encouraged. Sometimes they just need some food. And that little bit of giving of food or the drink, whatever it is, can be a ministry that God uses to say, you know what? I haven't abandoned them. I haven't abandoned you. So be hospitable. Why do you think it would say without complaint? Give me your thinking on that. What are your thoughts here?
I can see where if you gave someone something and then you would begrudge them for not doing what you thought that they would do with it, or to receive it as well as you did, or what you thought they should do.
Okay, that would be one angle of it. What else?
Well, sometimes you can give a gift to somebody, but they're just never really actually thankful, or they never actually take the leg up. So it's very easy to complain about, well, I tried, and they just don't. That's definitely one of those.
Good.
Sometimes you give something because you think you ought, and it makes you look better in other people's eyes, but it's not really from the heart. It's not given God's grace.
Okay. Okay. Without complaint. Kenneth.
Sometimes when you're helping somebody, it can be a clenched teeth thing. I love you. God loves you.
Please get out of my life.
No, but that's the forbearance you're talking about.
It is. It is.
I think it comes to mind Cliff's cousin Ken. Cliff and I have reached out multiple times, and it just gets very tiring because it's not taken in the right way. But at the same time, we're going to still pour love into him because God loves him, and it's just, it's hard, and we can't complain about it, and, you know, and because we see that there's a pattern that's going to continue, and no matter what we give, we have to be also diligent and being careful not to give too much, because when we do that, then we're just being taken advantage of. So it's also with some wisdom involved.
Yes.
To be hospitable.
Most definitely. Giving can be costly. And when you don't start out with a whole lot, and you're giving what you have to somebody else, it can get kind of weird in our feelings and our mind. Lord, how are we going to make this work? And there comes the complaint. David, did you have something?
Yeah. The word itself that you mentioned, it's a combination of the word love. Complaint over the hospitable act is denying that it's hospitable.
Right.
The loving strangers, there's something about the very act itself that places a focus of attention, I think, on that act and on the person who is being loved or the object being loved. To then complain about the act says, I'm not really being hospitable. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it maybe out of duty, not for love of the stranger.
And in case, some cases, I'm doing it in spite. I'm going to show you.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to slice and dice, and it can be pretty fine sometimes.
Yeah. Without complaint. Complaint certainly comes from a number of different angles. And complaint isn't always outward and verbal. There's hard stuff going on. And that's where God has got to be at work as we are being honest with ourselves and God. I want to go back to Colossians chapter 3 and look at similar thoughts, certainly, that Paul puts down. Gentile believers in Jesus. The discussion, Colossians chapter 3. Really, this discussion after his book to this point starts in verse 5, but I'm going to start at verse 12. He's already said there's a renewal going on in you because you're a believer in Jesus. The old should be passing away. Okay, so in verse 12. And so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ act as arbiter in your hearts. That's what the word rule means here. The peace of Christ being the one that guides our decision. I'm aiming toward God's peace in our relationship here. Let the peace of Christ act as arbiter in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Being thankful is one of those enemies. Complaining is one of the enemies of thankfulness, gratitude. Verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now, this would be similar to that Philippians 4:8, different wording though. It's what is my mind dwelling on? What is my spirit dwelling on? And then the next verse kind of sums it up. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus. There's a criteria. Huh. What I really did just then, is that glorifying to him as unto him? Here, Lord, let me give you this offering. What I just said or how I said it. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Man, that's a fistful of admonition there. Peter wasn't so complicated, okay, as he wrote it. And the next thing he's going to address is also simply put where Paul just added, you know, dimension to it. But I think it's good to go and look at the dimension to it so we can see, you know, what God meant. Because this isn't Peter's idea. This is God's idea. He inspired it using Peter's personality. So also with Paul. It comes together. It comes together. So be hospitable without complaint. And it doesn't qualify who you're supposed to be hospitable to. The word means love of a stranger or love for a stranger. So yes, it includes them. Certainly includes the one another, includes the body of Christ, the individual people. And then getting into that next verse, the gifts, we're going to look at some other scriptures. I think we have to. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. The beam of light is chasing me, so excuse me while I move location here. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, as each one has received a gift, and the word special there in the New American Standard is in italics. It's kind of implied. It helps it go forward. It's received from God, so employ it. I'm back in 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Employ it, engage it, apply it, do it in serving one another. I would like to look at a couple of other places where Paul talks about gifts. Go back to the book of Ephesians. There's the gifts of leadership. The gifts of leadership that God invested into the church. So Ephesians chapter 4. We're just going to breeze through these other lists. Ephesians 4, verse 11, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. And then it gives the reason for the gift in each of those areas, for the equipping of the saints. So this is not for them to have just build themselves up, self-acclaim, self-purpose, kingdom building of their own kingdom. This is to equip the saints, holy ones, for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. And it goes on, we're going to read it just a little bit further here. The edifying, your Bible might use, the equipping of, preparing, because we all as believers in the Lord are engaged in this life, and thus we should be engaged in ministry. How can we do that in a better way? Well, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers are to equip each of the people to do it in a way that increases to the glory of God. Okay, those gifts have a purpose for building up each of those in the local body and thus in the large body. That's where he goes right now. Until we all attain unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children. We're growing up into adulthood, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, the new stuff that floats through. by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. No, this building up is to give us truth that we're standing on, absolutely. Truth that we can know is from God, and we invest it into our life rather than all of this frothy mess that's out there that comes packaged as Christianity. It was back there, and it's alive and very, very at work today. By the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies. Every joint supplies is another way to word those gifts that God has invested in individual people are to work together. It is for a commonality, a common purpose, and that is that we grow up together. And as each one administers or employs the gift that God has given to them, the whole body grows up. That's the way God does it. So, like I said, Peter is not so complicated in how he approaches it. He says, just do it. Just do it. Well, Paul explains why. The rest of verse 16. Being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. But notice verse 11. He gave the gifts. Okay, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please. Beginning at verse 4. There's a different reason that this is given to the Corinthian people here. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given... Notice that we don't come up with it on our own. It's God's doing, and it's God's choosing. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for, and here's the purpose, the common good. The special gifts, called spiritual gifts by us typically in our vernacular, are from God, not for us to just go out and play with. Not for us to go out and just feel good. Absolutely, every time it's talked about in the Scripture, it is for the common good. It is to be spread and useful for the building up of the body, the maturing of the body. So, same topic. Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, the effecting of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. Point is, one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills. Don't lose it. It gets really muddied up out there by a lot of crazy teaching today. Gets really muddied up from, well, there aren't any more gifts, to now, which is the greatest? Which was the Corinthian problem. It was all about tongues. And so chapter 12, 13, and 14 says, no, it's not all about tongues. In fact, he lists tongues at the bottom of the list. But he doesn't say it's useless. When it's of God and being applied by God, it's useful. But there's chapter 14 giving us the guidelines. I want to look at chapter 14, one particular verse, 26. What is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, a teaching, a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for what? Same point. It's for the common good. And if it is not being utilized in that way, something is awry. Something is not right. Let's go back to 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. How does that happen if you're not engaged in the body of Christ? It doesn't. It can't. The tool that God designed to work in the body of Christ, specifically in a local body, if people are not participating in one another's lives, it doesn't happen. But the participation in one another's lives doesn't happen simply on a Sunday morning at certain hours. It's engaging with one another in real life. It is walking with them through the down times, rejoicing with the up times. It is laughing with them, and it's maybe getting mad with them. Just don't let the mad get into sin. Yeah, God deals with that too. It's walking through real life with people that come together for the good of all at times during the week. You know, it's not specified, really. It's not specified on a certain day, on certain hours. That's just developed traditionally. Whenever you do it, it should be for this purpose. If there are several that get together, or if it's a whole group that gets together, the purpose is always for edification. Thus, God is glorified. I see that consistent through the scripture, because it's God who is the Lord, not the apostle, not the prophet, not the evangelist, not the pastor, not the teacher. It is God who is in charge. Otherwise, it's somebody else's kingdom. We come together to glorify Him, to receive from Him, and that receiving is through one another type of ministry. Now, the pastor, the teacher, very important as the Word of God is put out there, because it continues to do a work within us. That's why Colossians says, you know, that we spend rich time in the Word of God. We let our mind and our heart just do it and apply it. Find out more and more, what is God like? Areas that I need to grow in. Okay, let me take a breath and open up for discussion, questions or comments from anybody. I don't want to force it. That's okay, you know. Application, as far as I can see, is slightly different for us than for the people of this persecuted world. It's not different because I'm still human, you're still human. Our circumstances might be different than them, but we are just as needy and we don't see it. Oftentimes, we fill up those needs with other things. You know what I'm saying? These people were rubbed raw from the persecution. Their need was right out there. So for some of us, it takes a little bit more effort, a little bit more work to allow somebody to see us on a bad hair day, to see us when we're not doing so well, and let them into our life. How are you doing? Oh, great. Stop lying to me. How are you doing? Oh, great. God's Lord. Yes, He's Lord. How are you doing? Well, I had a hard time with my wife this morning. Oh, now we're getting somewhere. And we move forward. Or whatever the circumstance. May you have a great time with your wife this morning. I don't know. I just pulled something out. Moving through life together, just being honest and open with one another. Within that, there has to be some discretion, some wisdom. Now, Becky, you touched on it, and I'm going to touch a little bit more. The saying, let me finish this thought here, I'll come back to you. The saying that I heard a long time ago that I think is great advice: be careful who you show your dirty laundry to. Use discretion. It's not that you just go out there and you bleed on everybody. That's not the way God would have it, I don't think. But there are people that he does bring into our life. And those people are to be there for edification, and I am to be there for them in their edification too. So there's some discretion to be used as well when we're being honest and being up. Yes, Dave?
So I don't know how deep you want to get into that subject of spiritual gifts.
Peter doesn't.
Should we try to determine what our spiritual gift is? Do we have one? Do we have multiple?
Right. Yeah, that's a question. I thought about it while studying through this. And I want to say, I don't know. But where God brings a ministry opportunity to us, I think we're to engage in it. I do, having spent time, quality time with some people, believe I know some people with the gift of wisdom. I do. I think that there's been some that have come into my life and around me that have had a gift of discernment. They can see it quicker than me. Where I'm, la, la, la. They're saying, be careful. I like that. Combined with wisdom. I believe that I know people with the gift of mercy and some with the gift of exhortation. And what I really like to bring out in pre-marriage counseling as well as marriage counseling, prepping for the future, is the gift of mercy needs to be balanced out with the gift of exhortation. Because the gift of mercy can get out of hand. You know, just giving somebody another chance. The exhorter says, line's drawn in the sand, we got to do something here. But that guy needs to be balanced out with the guy with the gift of mercy. Now, I have not thought through all the people that I'm associated with here to think, okay, what is your gift? There are churches, there are denominations that make a big push on that, have all these things to fill out and test to take, and voila, at the end, I have the gift of whatever. Great. So God says to do this, not that. I also believe that when I'm around somebody with the gift of mercy, I can become more merciful, even if that's not my gift. Romans 12 talks about the mercy gift. When I'm associating with you who are wired different from me, by God, I can become more like God because I can become more like what he's invested in you for the common good. Okay, anyway, that's a real quick synopsis of my thinking about this. And there are priorities, certainly. That's 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. The priority is that love is sought first, above all things. And if the gifts are being bragged on, that is not of God. If they're out of order, that is not of God. Okay. That's as deep as I'm intending to go. Good question, no? Mm-hmm. There's also the there's also the gift of receiving, you know, gift of playing, you know. Anyway, there's some wild stuff. Okay, anybody else? That's a great ending time. It's before 11 o'clock. Got through the material I wanted to out of 1 Peter 4. That's a good thing. The Word of God is good. Thank you, Lord God, for reminding us. Lord, most of us in this room have been in this passage before, in all of these passages before, yet it's fresh and new when we approach it again because it means real life application. Well, God, we bow before you as our Lord, as our Master, as our Teacher. We bow before you as the one that has designed things well. Help us to cooperate. Help us to grow up. Keep fitting in to our place that you've designed us to fill. Yeah, be glorified among us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.